Time to talk books, as we always do on a Tuesday, just after the 2 p.m. news. I'm joined by author Pip Adam now. Hi, Pip.
Kia ora, Jesse. How are you?
I'm good. You've been travelling internationally, Pip. How exciting.
It was so thrilling. Yes, a couple of weeks ago, I got to go to the Brisbane Writers Festival.
Cool.
It was amazing. It was incredible. It was really incredible to be travelling again.
Yeah. It would have been presumably a couple of years.
Yeah, a long time before that as well. So, yeah, it's been quite a stretch between drinks. But, yeah, it was very, I was really impressed by sort of the safety on the way and the safety back. And, yeah, it was really great. It was fantastic.
Nice one. And so it's inspired your topic for this weekend. You got here, you want to talk about some books and writers from so-called Australia. Why have you phrased it like that?
I always think that... I don't know, like, we were really lucky while we were over there to be welcome to the Meanjin country. And I think that, like in Aotearoa, there's kind of New Zealand and Aotearoa, and they sort of, I think that, to think of that land as Australia, I think, is interesting for me. And, yeah, and I think that, I guess, any time I get a chance to sort of talk about colonial places as so-called, I do use it just to sort of remind us that there are often dual histories. And some of the work that we're talking about today kind of deals with that dual history. So, yeah, I thought I'd put that in there.
Great. The festival began with a welcome to country. New Zealanders might not be familiar with this. That's an acknowledgement of the Indigenous population of Australia.
Yeah, we were welcome to the place, and it was a really beautiful exchange where the person that welcomed us was able to talk, and it was quite a beautiful kind of experience to be there. And filed into that, as well as a really generous kind of education about the land and the people that are from that land. There's also the Brisbane Writers Festival always has a first word and a last word, and that is always from an Indigenous writer. And this year it was Tony Birch, who is not Indigenous to that area, to up in Brisbane, but he was appearing at the festival and gave this beautiful opening speech, which was just absolutely wonderful.
Can you tell us more about Tony Birch?
Oh, Tony is one of my favourite writers in the whole wide world. So I first came in contact with his work in 2014. And, you know, that's what I was thinking about while I was putting together this thing today, is that I think there's a perception that maybe Australians don't read New Zealanders writing and New Zealanders don't read Australians writing.
Yeah.
And I think that... I'm not sure if it's changing, and I'm not sure if it was ever true or it was just an easy kind of thing to say. But Tony's work has just affected me so much. I first came in contact with it in 2014 when I read his collection of short stories, which is called The Promise, which was just the most incredible collection. And I think that Tony was one of the first people, he came to New Zealand Writers Festival, I think, in 2014. And he was one of the first people I heard talking about this idea of an Indigenous story, you know, what will be accepted by the mainstream as an Indigenous story. And The Promise is this amazing book full of a real wide range of Aboriginal experience. And, it's just a magnificent short story collection.
They're mostly set in rural Australia?
No, this is what I think is so cool about it, is there are the stories of rural Australia, but there's also, you meet lawyers who are living in Sydney in beautiful apartments, and you meet people that are living this quite urban life as well as a rural life. So I think that as a sort of newbie to Australian literature, when I read it, I just thought, wow, this is a magnificent book. And I often set his stories when I was teaching creative writing, because I think that they're really interesting in ways of coding culture into books, which I think is really interesting.
You heard him speak, Tony Birch, at the 2014 New Zealand Festival of the Arts. Do you remember what he talked about?
I just remember him being incredibly interesting on this topic of what we write about and how we write about it. And he was just, I don't know, like, his work really is quite incredible. He has a book that was shortlisted for the National Award in Australia, which is called The White Girl, which I would also recommend. It's a novel that's set in the 1960s, and it's based around the uplift of sort of white passing Aboriginal children. And it's another magnificent story about about country and about people, and just trying to reckon with this history, but also bringing it into the not so distant future as well. He's an amazing writer. I just think rush out and read all his books. He's got two new books coming out this year. Whisper Songs is a collection of poetry, and Dark as Last Night is a book of short stories, and those are both out with University of Queensland Press. So yeah, okay. Highly recommend it.
Thank you. You also want to talk about Drop Bear, which recently won something called the Stella Prize.
Yeah. So Drop Bear is by Evelyn Araluen, and it is Stella Prize is this, it's for a work of Australian literature by a woman writer, but it also includes cis, trans and non-binary. It's inclusive of those peoples as well. And Drop Bear won the award this year. It's just a couple of weeks ago. And this is, again, I just think you could do a lot worse than just rushing out and grabbing this book. It is an amazing work. It's a very, I don't know, like it's an incredibly audacious and beautiful piece of work.
Yeah, you talk about it being a sort of a cross-genre book.
Yeah, I really think the Australians are pretty damn good at this kind of not being sort of boxed in by one genre or another. And I think that Araluen's book is particularly amazing because it sort of mixes essay and what we might consider poetry, but it really does set the poetry into an essayistic kind of sort of sets it to an essayistic purpose, which I think is quite incredible as well. And I think that what's so great about it is that it's a conversation in a lot of ways to a past that perhaps you know, has been erased a little bit from the mainstream, you know, is obviously still there in spoken histories. But I think what's interesting is Araluen kind of invents this new structure in order to talk about this history, which is very much present throughout.
So you note her acceptance speech, which is worth reading. And one of the points she makes is that after 2 years of lockdowns and really tough times for artists, artists who don't have some sort of financial backing or a bit of a hand up are unlikely to continue producing, restricts access for creators from working class and marginalised contexts, as she puts it. It's a really interesting point, and it's a really strong call for funding.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think in New Zealand, in the habit of writing acceptance speeches for awards that we don't know if we've won or not. But I think, I don't know whether the Stella lets people know, but
yeah.
The last few years, these acceptance speeches have been absolutely outstanding. I think this is another genre that I think the Australians do exceptionally well at, and that is, the genre of acceptance speech. And this is incredibly political. It talks for funding for arts. It makes very clear that without funding, the range of work will be less and less. So, yeah, it's a magnificent speech. It's really great.
Great. The book's called Drop Bear. And one more to recommend to our listeners, and that's The Luminous Solution by Charlotte Wood.
Yeah, and I think this carries on nicely to what you were saying about lockdown. You know, this is a book by Charlotte Wood. She's perhaps better known for her novels. She has written some of the last decade's most incredible novels. But this is a book which sort of talks about creativity, but it also talks about continuing to write. Charlotte has got a podcast and has interviewed a lot of writers, and she kind of puts her practice down on paper in this book. And even if you're not a writer, I think it's quite a motivating piece of writing, especially sort of coming out of lockdown. Like, it talks about states of mind, and it talks a lot about gardening, which I quite like as well. I think gardening and writing, very similar.
You're going to put some gardening in your next book, Pip?
I will probably kill everything. I'm not a good gardener.
Hey, great to have you on, as always. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.